Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Cows, what are you laughing at?
We took that segment a little late, gave Postic a little more time. He's still not here.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not here.
Yeah, I mean, we expect that now. You got Chris Carter?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Chris Carter's on the Fan Hotline. He's in Ireland. Chris, good morning. How are you? How are things going?
I'm all right, Dorn. How you doing back in Pittsburgh?
We're doing pretty good. It's a little foggy out. It's a little rainy. It's a little nasty, but the weather's going to clear up maybe for the weekend for the pick game, so I'm happy about that. What's the atmosphere like there? What's the vibe like? We've talked to Jason Mackey. We've talked to Adam Crowley already, and they've talked about the vibe and the experience. What's your experience been like there in Ireland? How many black people have you run into? Any?
Quite a few, actually. I'm actually staying with some black people. My friend Sarah and Barry, Sarah, a local Pittsburgher, was so gracious to host me and my wife. So we're having a good time with him. But we've been bumping into a few black people. They out and about here in Ireland. But it's been a cool scene, man. Like we were bouncing around proper Dublin and seeing some of that. We went to the Steelers bar, the Temple bar. What I didn't realize is they said, oh, it's the Fitzsimmons Temple bar. And I was like, oh, there's probably just one Temple bar. There's like 2,000 Temple bars.
Oh, wow.
So you had to like actually find the right one, which is the Fitzsimmons one. But it's been really cool. We got a chance to I did the whole Guinness storehouse experience. Got to pour a perfect glass of Guinness in the academy there. I got to experience that with some of our friends in the sports media department, Brooke Pryor, Jenna Harner, Mike DeFable. So it's been a good time. We got to do that and bounce around, and today we're looking to see more of the scenic things today.
What's your vibe around the actual game? We've got the vibe of the atmosphere and the people, but the actual game, and me personally, I'm so different from when Monday to Thursday to Friday to Saturday and even game day, I change so much. I go up and down of like how I'm feeling. How are you feeling right now of the Steelers' chances of winning this football game against the Vikings on Sunday?
I think it's a bit 50-50 right now, particularly because the Vikings are experienced in the trenches the way that the Steelers want to be experienced in the trenches in a few years. You look at Brian O'Neill, you look at Christian Darrisaw, you even look on the defensive side, you see Javon Hargrave, Jonathan Allen. They have guys that are seasoned in the trenches, and that's a big part of why they win. Plus, they have really good playmakers, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison's back this week, Jordan Mason, you saw what he did last week, TJ Hockenson, you know how dangerous of a tight end he is. And the thing that I think the Steelers can hang their hat on if they do it well is if they can turn around their third down defense. They're ranked right now 29th in the NFL in third down defense and allowing teams to convert. But the Vikings offense ranks 28th in third down offense. If they're able to basically get the Vikings, and they were pretty bad on third down last week against the Bengals. Like the Bengals defense is the one defense you should be just getting all over the place. But I think that's where if the Steelers defense can turn that around this week, get their third down defense together, that could be the key that helps them control the pace of this game. And if they get a couple turnovers and they limit the big play opportunities for the Vikings playmakers, they can keep this game in their control.
Yeah, when talking to Jason Mackey earlier, I asked him about DeShone Elliott and his chances and his feeling around him playing on Sunday. He doesn't have a good feeling about it. He doesn't think that it's necessary for him to play, and he basically said that he believes he's not going to play. What's your feeling around DeShone Elliott playing? And if he does, do you think that fixes the communication issues that have been hampering on the Steelers defense?
I'm not sure if it fixes it right away. I think part of what people need to understand with the Steelers, quote-unquote, communication issues right now is that this is a different defense. And I talked about that earlier this week on Locked On Steelers. But, like, this defense is blitzing from so many new angles. They're sending heat in so many different ways. They're moving T.J. Watt around. They're trying to – and they're doing this to try to free up T.J. Watt. And in doing that, they have to properly mix the right coverages with those blitzes in the ways that work with the veterans that they've added to the roster. You know, there's certain ways that Darius Slay or Jalen Ramsey are used to covering in situations that they're like, hey, in this situation, we need you to cover this way. So there's been a lot of trial and error so far, and I think that's been the quote-unquote communication issue. So having one guy back won't just fix the problem. It's more so about they need to continue to try the things that are going to make them tighter on defense, because now you're starting to see that their pass rush is getting home. They had 5 sacks last week. If they can keep up that pass rush, get after the Carson Wentz this week, and you know, Carson Wentz against the blitz didn't look too great when they actually got pressure on him. I think that could be their ticket to sort of figuring out some of their communication issues, but they have to take away the initial reads on the back end, because I think that's what happened against the Seahawks a lot, was Sam Darnold would get pressure, but some guy would kind of back off his man a little bit because he thought he was supposed to play off coverage, and that allowed him a quick exit. Or, you know, one guy played trail technique instead of just playing straight up man, where he takes away the inside leverage, and that allowed a guy to get open real quick. And so I think that that's the chemistry that they're still figuring out right now, and that's where the quote-unquote communication things are going to happen. I don't know if Deshaun Elliott will play. I think that we'll see later today if he practices in full in Ireland, then that'll be a good sign. If he's limited, I would expect them to probably sit him out, because he's a really good player, and they know once he's healthy, he's going to be a big-time contributor. So him and Joey Porter Jr., let's just see how they practice today. And if they're full participants, expect them to be on the field. If they're not, maybe the Steelers say, hey, let's just get you right after the bye, and let's try to win with the guys that we've been working with the last three weeks.
Chris, what's up, man? Bostic, better late than never,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Better late than never. It's foggy out there.
It's foggy out there this morning.
It took an extra like 8 minutes to get here. Vikings giving up $130 a game on the ground. How many touches did Jaylen Warren get in this game?
Touches or rushes?
How about both? Rushes, okay. And then total touches.
Let's go 16 rushes, 21 touches.
I think that's where he has to be.
Yep.
I think that's where he has to be.
I think they're still going to work the ball Kenneth Gainwell at times because of his ability to kind of like use his speed and work in space. But this would be a good week to get Jaylen Warren going. He brought up the Vikings defense. I think that's a good thing. I also think the key this week might be getting the tight ends involved.
I was just about to ask you about that.
They are small. They are, and they're good. Like, they're talented. I like a lot of the guys in their secondary. But this would be a week for, especially when you start to get on the plus side territory and you're getting closer to the red zone. Man, put Darnell Washington up against Isaiah Rodgers. I know that Isaiah Rodgers had the perfect PFF grade last week. And listen, he was a monster. He had two touchdowns on the defensive side, 3 forced turnovers. But ask him to do that to 6'7" Darnell Washington. Ask Pat Freiermuth to go up against some of their other guys. You know, put DK Metcalf. They don't have a corner that can stick DK Metcalf, I think, physically. I think they can run with him. But use your size to your advantage. I think that's the key for the offense this week against the Vikings.
So the low production of the tight ends, and whenever you're doing your analysis, you're breaking down the film, what are you seeing of the reason for the low production? Is it that they're not getting open? Is it they're not getting into the proper routes? Is it because they have to stay in and chip block and help the offensive line? You know, what is it? Or is it they're just not running out 13 personnel or 12 personnel as much as we thought that they were? Why do you think the production's so low for that group, a group that we thought was going to have high production in the beginning of the year?
Oh, no, I think they're running plenty of 12 and 13 personnel. They're definitely putting them out there. But they are chip blocking a lot. They are doing that. I think part of it is just because of what the Steelers are trying to do right now with passing the ball. They recognize that the offensive line's still young, still figuring it out. Like Troy Faltan, who I think will end up being very good, he honestly has had been on more of the struggle bus the last couple games than Broderick Jones. And I think when they're looking at that, they're saying, hey, let's not get Aaron killed. Let's call play action, hit Jalen out of the backfield. Let's do a quick slant. Let's do a pop pass. And those things aren't, you know, going to lend itself to more tight end passes. But I think as the offensive line goes, if they can improve, that's when you'll see the tight ends get more of a chance to kind of run their seam, run a seam right up the middle. And if there's a zone, Aaron Rodgers hits them behind it and they attack there. But I think it's been more circumstantial. I think the tight ends, they absolutely want to get involved. And, you know, like they tried, like, you know, Pat Freiermuth, he was kind of working on a scramble drill, and Aaron Rodgers needed him to sit in space rather than run to a defender. And I think he just did the wrong thing in that moment. And like those things that happen, they'll clean those things up, I think. But I think that's been the key right now, is it's more circumstantial to all the other things they're trying to do in the offense that haven't allowed them to really expand upon the tight end usage so far. But I do think that'll change probably in a couple weeks or so.
Chris, you guys have asked a lot about Cole Holcomb and the linebacker balance. What's your evaluation of that position right now and kind of the division of labor there?
I can see Cole Holcomb getting another start this week and getting more prominent, because they need to stop Jordan Mason. They cannot allow this Vikings offense to run the ball. They got to make Carson Wentz be one dimensional. And because Carson Wentz, you know, he may be Carson Wentz and he may not be, you know, a superstar quarterback like he was in his prime day was with the Eagles, but he has some playmakers, man. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. You cannot be in a guessing game with those guys. So I think they put an emphasis to stop them. So Cole Holcomb, that's where he's good there. Peyton Wilson, I think, is still figuring out all the extra things. Like, we talked to him about the second touchdown that they allowed to the Patriots, right? And he pointed out that, like, yeah, we were trying to show that we were in zone, but we were really in man. And then when we dropped back, you know, there were some misunderstandings about what we were supposed to actually be in. And basically, I think he was supposed to run with the tight end, and he thought he was supposed to play a specific spot instead of playing that guy. And so those are the type of things that, like, they're more aggressive with their disguises this year behind those blitzes, because they were trying to send heat, but they're also trying to show one coverage while actually being in another coverage. And those are the things that sometimes, you know, guys mix up, but they need to clear that up. So I think that those guys will rotate a bit today. Cole Holcomb on the early downs, Peyton Wilson maybe on the later downs, if it's like third and long. But I also think Patrick Queen, I know a lot of people in Pittsburgh tweet about how mad they are at him for this, that, and the third. I think he's actually been doing as much as he can to hold the defense together in the middle. He gets in the backfield. The only time you see him not really being involved is when linemen are climbing up to him and hitting him within the first 2 seconds of the play. And that's not his expertise. You don't want Patrick Queen getting hit by centers and guards right away. You want him clean. You want him, you know, scouring. You want him looking through the play and attacking downhill. And when he does that, he's been dangerous. And so, you know, he's had tackles for losses. He's led the team in tackles, you know, a few times this year. And I think that that's where you'll see him be. So I think Patrick Queen, as long as he's kept clean this week, will be fine. But Peyton Wilson, can he be better on passing downs? Cole Holcomb, can he you know, lead the charge on rundowns? I think that'll be how the linebacker rotation goes.
Chris, you're the man. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good time in Ireland.
Thanks, fellas.
We'll see you.
Thanks, Chris.
There he goes. Chris Carter with the Post-Gazette. He is the man. So is Pat. Pat, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm great.
Great?
It's foggy out there, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little dangerous.
It is.
Like, you can barely see 20 yards in front of you.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, me and Kallus were walking past the window when we were getting coffee earlier. I was like, look how foggy it is out there. And then Kallus said something about, like, clouds and didn't make any sense. So
Kallus a weather guy?
No. He thinks probably he is, but
I was hoping it was just rain, but it's not.
No, it's not. It's dense fog. So be careful out there as you make your way to where you're going.
Yes, yes. Coming up next, should the Steelers move on from somebody if they don't perform on Sunday? We'll talk about that next with Pat Bostic.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trustpj.com. 93.7 The Fan will showcase a different community each Saturday through the youth football showcase with a special visit from members of the fan staff. Do you want 93.7 The Fan to visit your game? Email youthsports at 93.7thefan.com with your group name, your group's main contact information, and potential dates. Details at 93.7thefan.com right now, brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, Pelman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. Pat, this you said yesterday this was your favorite event you've ever been to out of all sporting events you've been to.
Yeah, the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
It's big time. It's awesome.
We've seen some pretty good shots in the last 10 minutes.
My goodness.
I mean, from Scottie Scheffler to John Rahm.
Yeah, high-level golf right now.
I think Fitzpatrick had a nice little shot. DeChambeau and Thomas are up one over Rahm and Hatton. That is your Ryder Cup update brought to you by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. So I said earlier, if somebody didn't have the production, a decent level of production, should they sit down and should they, be benched, really? And should somebody take over their spot? Obviously, that's Broderick Jones. I think we're at a crossroads right now. And you've been calling for –
Who replaces him, though?
Exactly. That's where I was getting to. You know, Andrus Peat, he's a guy who's played tackle, played guard. They picked him up through training camp. He's played a lot of years in the NFL. You got Calvin Anderson. Maybe even Spencer Anderson if you're in a pinch. But those three, I think, would be the guys that you go to. But the crossroads right now, you've been saying this for a long time, way before we even got to the season, is you have to make a decision. I feel like it is – now, as much as the Steelers are going to want to get the most out of their first-round pick that they traded up for a couple years ago or a few years ago, I feel like you're at a point where it's like you're about to hit the bye week. If it looks rough against – the Minnesota Vikings and Jonathan Allen and those defensive linemen and rush ends, like you can't keep making Aaron Rodgers as vulnerable as he has been in these first batch of games. So I think whether the Steelers like it or not, they have to make a decision moving forward and give somebody else an opportunity. Do you think that's appropriate if he does? Like, is this game as monumental as I'm making it right now for Broderick Jones to have a decent level of production?
I think so. I think every week there's more onus on the Steelers to make a decision at that position. They need Aaron Rodgers to play the balance of the season and to stay upright. Broderick hasn't been solely responsible for the hits and sacks, but you know there's more than enough examples of him getting put on skates or getting beat, double teams getting split, things of that nature that just can't happen from a third-year player. And that was my whole issue with this coming in, is they expected a change of scenery moving from one side of the line to the other to be, you know, refreshing and to bring out a new Broderick Jones, and it really hasn't. And as they play better pass rushers, and Minnesota's, they got 9 sacks on the year, Grenard and Van Ginkle, the outside linebacker, obviously Jonathan Allen are going to provide a formidable test for Jones. But they're going to continue to play teams like that. They're going to play Cleveland. And Cleveland's going to play them twice, and they're going to throw big Myles Garrett on him. And he's catching. He's not punching. There's just a lot of technical stuff that you just haven't seen growth. And I'm not saying they're not coaching it, because I highly doubt they're not coaching punch. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just instinct for him. And what you have to wonder is he a broken player? And that is a... You know, I would feel bad for him and for Pittsburgh if that was the case. But if he is, you can't have him out there protecting your 41-year-old quarterback's blindside if he's incapable of doing fundamental things in pass protection to eliminate push and obviously hits.
See, like for me, man, like a draft pick like Broderick Jones, where he's a project player, he only had like, 20 starts in at Georgia. Like that is a draft pick that you would want to take a chance on if you're a team that was just in the Super Bowl, or a team that was just in the AFC Championship game that you had a solidified offensive line. I felt at the time that this, I'm like, what are the Steelers doing? Like, this guy is not a refined prospect. Like, they're going to have to work with him to get him to the level of being the top pick that he warranted with the Steelers. Like, yeah. I thought that was a bad pick at the time, because this guy's going to need some growth and going to need some coaching, going to need some time to come in to his own. Were the Steelers in a situation like that back 3 years ago to do that? Like, no, that's a terrible miss.
They would have been if you still had Maurkice Pouncey, if you still had David DeCastro, if you still had guys that had been in the system that had developed. I mean, you know, Faltanu's a second year, basically a first year player. McCormick has struggled at right guard. Frazier's good at center. I'm not ready to say he's great at center. Sam Alu's been in and out of the lineup and is a veteran player, but a bit of a, you know, he's not a all pro. They just don't have any veteran leadership in that position room. They really don't. It's so young, and you bring a guy in like that who's, you know, left tackle in college, becomes a swing tackle for you, and there's just nobody outside of the line coach that's got their arm around him. Now, Aaron Rodgers is trying to do it mid-flight, but, you know, he can't help him out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his own job to do.
All right.
So, and I think it's trickling into, I think coming off of a game like this, you know, the other part of this game is there's an open week, bye week after it. Right, and that's prime time for self-scout. You start to look at, you know, what are we sacrificing in helping Broderick Jones and Troy Faltanu? I'll give Faltanu more of a pass.
Mm-hmm.
What are we sacrificing in terms of guys out in the route, protection phase? What are we missing in the run game as a result of trying to bring this guy along and not expose him? It's just, you're basically playing with one hand tied behind your back if you're worried about your left tackle every play.
Right. Right.
You know, you're just,
and it's altering the game plan.
And I saw it game one against the Jets. I mean, I really believe this. And Aaron Rodgers probably wouldn't admit it because it's fatal to admit that you're looking down as a quarterback. But you can't help but check and make sure, like, am I good here? Like, ball snapped, I got the ball, check real quick, and then your eyes are downfield. And you wonder why you're a tick late or a little behind or you're not getting to a third progression. It's because you're worried about what's happening over there. If you got a swinging door at left tackle, at least you can see what Troy's doing.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, your eyes are downfield, you're a right-handed quarterback, you're going to see the right side. That side, you got to turn your whole head to see what's going on there. And I think it's not just the plays that Broderick does or doesn't make. It's the concern about what he's doing down in and down out that I think to some degree is holding this offense back. Is it totally responsible for it? Absolutely not. But it is certainly a contributing factor to why this offense isn't as efficient in the run and pass game as it could be.
And you know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't see it getting better Sunday because you have Brian Flores that's going to throw all kinds of different looks at you. That's one thing we haven't really talked about is the mental side of it. It's more the physical stuff with Broderick and just the natural tackle elements that come to the game, that come within the game of playing tackle. But whenever you're not on page with those things, and then you go against a defense that's going to throw different things at you, and then your head starts to spin, it's a recipe
right.
for disaster.
You're already playing defensive at that position right now. He's playing. You can just tell by his technique. He's soft. He's passive. He's catching. He's trying not to get beat. But in so doing, that it's not a firm pocket. It's getting pushed. It's collapsing. And, yeah, he might not be giving up sacks, but how about the hits?
Mm-hmm.
How about the split double teams in a run game that are missed opportunities that cost you 3, 4, 5 yards to turn a second and four into a second and nine because you just miss one block? Like, those are the inches, those are the details that hold an offense back that already is limited, right? This hasn't been a high-functioning offense for damn near 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's things like this. And it goes back to draft development, it goes back to acquisition, it goes back to how they're investing their capital. I mean, they got $158 million tied up on defense. They didn't do one thing this offseason to shore up that offensive line.
Nope.
And they were bringing in a quarterback that is, you know, in his fourth decade on this earth. So, actually, it's fifth decade on this earth. And you got to protect that asset if you're going to depend on him to win you games with his arm.
Yeah, I don't see it looking too good. Honestly, I just got a little hunch there. I don't know about the game as a whole yet, but I don't see it looking too good for Broderick Jones this coming Sunday. All right, coming up next, we got odds and ends, baby.
Let's do it.
Odds and ends, Callis. You ready to go?
Yes.
All right, coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
and T's apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Dickerson, Boston, Cal's here with you, and you know that music, and you know the time, because it's time for odds and ends. Are you guys ready? Do we have an update, Callis, of the rankings? I think
me and Crowley are tied all with one win so far through 3 weeks of the regular season.
Okay. So Boston, you will sub in for Crowley today.
Perfect. Sabotage.
And I'll start. Are you guys ready? Yes.
Ready to roll.
Aaron Rodgers over under 205.5 passing yards.
Over.
Under.
Oh, I hate that line. I'm going to go slightly under. I think he hits 200, maybe 201. So I'm going to go slightly under for Aaron Rodgers. Carson Wentz over under 210.5 passing yards.
Over.
Ooh.
I'm going to say under, but not by much.
Oh, man. I'm going to go over, slightly over. Jaylen Warren over under 55.5 rushing yards.
Over.
Over.
I'm going to go under. Under for Jaylen Warren. Jordan Mason over under 85.5 rushing yards.
Under.
Over.
I'm going to go under for Jordan Mason. DK Metcalf over under 50.5 receiving yards.
Over.
Oh, that's a good line. Over.
I'm going to go over as well. Justin Jefferson over under 75.5 receiving yards.
Under.
Over.
Man. I'm going to go over. Jordan Addison over under 40.5 receiving yards.
Over.
Under.
Over. Calvin Austin over under 35.5 receiving yards.
35.5? Well, if Rodgers is going to throw for 205, DK's got over. Over.
They're getting ambitious with the yardage they're giving him because they're giving him the ball more. I'm going to say under, but not by much.
Yeah, same. I'm slightly under for Calvin Austin, the third. TJ Hockenson over under 40.5 receiving yards. I feel like this right here is stealing money.
Over.
Over.
Over. Way over. Pat Freiermuth over under 20.5 receiving yards.
Over.
Under.
Over. Johnny Smith over under 30.5 receiving yards.
Under.
Over.
I don't think they've figured out how to get him the ball yet.
I think they figure it out Sunday.
Oh.
So I'm going to go over. I think they figure out how to utilize all the tight ends on Sunday. Jaylen Warren over under 25.5 receiving yards.
Over.
Over.
Slightly under. Kenneth Gainwell over under 10.5 receiving yards.
Over.
That's a good one. Over.
Over as well. Justin Jefferson over 5.5 receptions.
Over.
Under.
Over. DK Metcalf over under 4.5 receptions.
Over.
Under.
Over. Jaylen Warren over under 3.5 receptions.
Over.
Under.
Over. Kenneth Gainwell over under 2.5 receptions.
Over.
Under.
Under. Does TJ Watt have a sack?
Yizzer.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes. Does TJ Watt have 2 sacks?
1.5. No.
No.
I'm going to say yes. Does Nick Herbig have a sack?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Does Jalen Ramsey have an interception?
No.
No.
No, he won't. Will we see Crowley in the stands on the broadcast?
No chance.
No.
You can't find that.
We're going to see him.
You can't find that little fella in amidst the masses.
Hey, we got some inside. We got some insiders with NFL Network. I mean, they've come here before.
That's true.
They know what we look like. I wonder if they've been listening in.
That's true. I think that
they listen to our media during big games like this.
Very, very
look
true.
Look at Crowley, the Ireland native.
Yeah.
Just blending in. Why is he wearing a 93.7 The Fan shirt? He doesn't work there.
All right, crazy stat line of the game. I'll go first. Connor Hayward will lead the tight ends in receiving yards.
What?
Crazy stat line of the game.
Crazy stat line of the game.
Yeah, something that's just out of the box.
Whew. Jeez. I haven't prepared for this one, obviously.
I can go if you need.
Go ahead.
So this isn't more of a stat line. This is just something I think is going to happen. It's wild. I think that Broderick Jones, something's going to happen where he gets hurt, and he's going to get taken out. It's not going to be a serious injury, but he's going to get taken out, and whoever replaces him is going to play spectacularly, and this is the last we're going to see of Broderick Jones for quite some time.
All right.
Crazy stat line of the game. Eccles has a pick six.
Okay. I can get down with that.
That's the second time somebody said that during these.
That is.
An Eccles pick six. Somebody else said that before. I think it was Mackey or Crowley.
Yeah, I think it was Mackey. Yeah, you're right. All right, that's odds and ends for this week. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up next, real quick, I kind of want to get into detail of a game that has some ramifications for a team. I want to get into detail in who has the most pressure. Coming up next, 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Dickerson Bostic, Cal's here with you. Cal's, how you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah.
You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm excited for the odds and ends results because we had conflicting. You two said over on a bunch and I said under, so that's going to create a disparagement in the final tally.
Pat, would you want to play like an international game? Like if you were a Pitt
and
next year
awesome.
Or 2 years?
It'd be fun.
You would like to do that?
That'd be great.
I wouldn't.
Why not?
I don't know, because I'd be all messed up from the time change and I'd be wanting to go out and not really focus on football.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just would. Like,
that's
exactly why the Steelers left yesterday. I know that for a fact. People are like, oh, the Steelers, there's no practice fields for the Steelers. I'm like, nah, Tom was like trying to eliminate the time that the players can go out and have a good time.
Yeah, draft Guinness.
Exactly. Nah, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't be able to actually have the full experience because, let me say it this way, I would be focused on practice in the game. I wouldn't be able to enjoy the full experience of a country. So, all right, Sunday, Ravens, Chiefs. Who has the most pressure to win that game? Who has the most pressure to figure it out? And what is going on with the Chiefs, you think? Like, we know the Ravens. We see the Ravens. They've been in the games that they've lost. They just haven't figured out a way to close out the games. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, excuse me, does look like he has a lot of pressure on his shoulders. I mean, he's, you know, his actions kind of show that every time that something bad happens. And Derrick Henry has fumbled a lot. I'm not really worried about the Ravens. Maybe their defense has issues that you could exploit. But the Chiefs, what do you think it is the reason why that they are, you know, kind of up against it coming Sunday?
So your first question, I think the Ravens have more pressure on them.
Okay.
Secondly, I think the Chiefs are getting old.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I mean,
you think Mahomes is getting old?
Not Mahomes. Not Mahomes, but it's kind of like it kind of reminds me a little bit. It's probably a bad example, but Green Bay when Rodgers was there, the turnover of like Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb to like Devontae Adams, and they haven't. You know, Xavier Worthy's been hit or miss, in and out of the lineup. Kelsey's older. Juju Smith-Schuster's been all around the league. He's now, what, in year 7 or 8?
Yep.
Pacheco is a solid back, but he was a late-round pick. I mean, they really haven't – they missed on Edwards-Helaire. He wasn't what they wanted him to be coming out of LSU. You know, Jones is older on the defensive side.
Yeah.
Age is undefeated. Time is undefeated. And I think that it's they're still dangerous. Because they have the experience that once they get in the moment, they have that ability to win games. The problem is they're not in that moment a lot because they've been pretty ineffective offensively for the past couple of years. on the whole.
Who do you think is going to win the game?
Ravens.
Significantly?
Not significantly. I just think they win the game.
At Arrowhead?
I think they win.
Wow.
I think they win. I think they're up against it. And I think that the run game, I think the style favors the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they get it right this week. But I don't think they're a championship team, though.
Do you think that Derrick Henry's getting old?
I know he's getting older. And the fumbling thing gets in your head.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, 3 fumbles in the last 2 games?
Yep.
You know? That be lying if that's not in the back of your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's such a force to reckon with. Like, I've never seen them in these first 3 games as frustrated as I've, like, them being together. Obviously, Derrick Henry was there last year for the first time, but I've never seen Lamar Jackson or Derrick Henry kind of their body language looking as poor as it. I've never seen it like that.
Yep.
Ever. And,
yeah. I mean, they're losing. 1-3. So, or 1-2, excuse me. And one of these teams is going to be 1-3.
Yeah.
And that's, in Kansas City, they've won championships. In Baltimore, they haven't in a long time, and those are alarm bells.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that they're feeling the pressure, and even looking at Harbaugh's face sometimes when they pan to him, like, he looks like he's feeling the pressure as well. So that's a interesting game, and one team is going to be 1-3 at the end of it, and one team that are usually Super Bowl contenders. And, you know, Pat, you say that most of the pressure is on the Ravens. It might be, because, like you said, Kansas City's already been there, done that. It's okay for them to probably start spiraling down, but, you know, this might be the only window that Baltimore has and Lamar Jackson has right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Kansas City can reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
Whether it's within this season or in the offseason, but clearly the window is closing for them. The window's barely open for the Ravens. Like, mm-hmm. they've gone all in,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I feel like the pressure's more on them. I mean, you got, you know, generational talent at quarterback and one of the just a freak show at tailback.
It's going to be interesting. Can't wait to watch that one. Lee Sterling, he's coming up next. We got Lee Sterling every single Friday. Love having Lee on. Can't wait to hear his thoughts on the games coming up this weekend. First Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 75, low of 61, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 77, low of 59 with overcast.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.